Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Have you ever felt spiritually drained or disconnected? This Charged Up series will help you stay plugged into God. From wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
I'm excited. We are in our fifth week of Charged Up, and this series is really just talking about us needing and having a devotion life with God. A constant, consistent connection to God. And every week I've been giving away something that has to stay charged up. We'll be talking about worship next week. And this is one of the tools that I really love. It's a Bose speaker that's wireless. And I can go places. I can go outside. I walk around with mine in the in our staff meetings. One thing I always wish is that they're going to come out with it at some time. But like you could walk around with your own theme music. You know what I'm saying? But not just in your headphone, but theme music that other people can hear. Like when you walk into a room, it's like dun 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 dun. Like I really would love that, but this is the closest thing that I can get to it right now. So who's here for the very first time, and you're with who invited you? Somebody invited you and you're here for the very first time. Who invited you? Michelle, you invited her. What's your name, sweetheart? Say it again. Chloe, do you want this, Chloe? She's like, yeah. Okay, we're going to give this. Chloe, thank you so much for coming to church this day. We are so glad. In Transformation Church, how do we treat our first time visitors? Stay charged up, Chloe. Michelle, that's what I'm talking about. Bring them in, not out. Okay, here we go. So today, we're talking about staying charged up, and we have gone through two different messages or topics in this series, and we're starting the third part of it. But I want to bring the analogy. We're talking about how our cell phones always need to be charged, and how our cell phones are like us, that they have amazing potential, can be used in all kinds of applications, can have the ability to touch the world, but the one thing they have to be is charged up. Somebody say charged up. How many people's cell phone died at some point this week? Come on, let's be honest. I know there was a couple of times good pictures were about to be taken and dead. How many people's cell phones were on low battery at some point this week? Okay. If that's true for you in the natural, I'm not going to ask the question, but you know, were you low spiritually this week? Was there a signal beeping and blinking at you saying, oh yeah, your attitude is telling us right now you're on low battery? And many people try to live their lives not plugged into the source of God. But through this entire series, what we're doing is practically teaching how we can live our life plugged in to God. Everybody say, I must stay charged up. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, you must stay charged up. You have to reach your potential. Hear me say this. Why are you so passionate? Because I walk past people every day who are not maximizing what God has put on the inside of them because they're trying to do it in their own strength, in their own power. And God tells us very clearly in his word, he said, by my divine power, I have given you everything you need to live a godly life, a charged up life, a full life. I didn't come that you just may live a mediocre life, but I came that you would live an abundant life. And when I look around, I don't see a whole bunch of people living that abundant life. So this is helping us stay plugged in. For everybody who's new here, give you the analogy real quick. God is the source. He's the power source. He's the one that we plug into. He was here before us. He's here now. He's going to be here after us. He is our power source. And we talked about the word of God being the plug. Any cell phone that you have, you got to plug it into an outlet. And then you have a plug, which is what we call the distributor of the power. It's the thing that is able to allow the power to flow. And then today we're going to be talking about the cord. And the cord in this analogy is prayer and worship. And then we have the device, which is you. And that's the thing that's supposed to be getting power. So today, as we talk about the cord, I've been doing some research on cords. And man, there's a lot of stuff I just do not know. As I was researching, Most of us think of a cord as one object. Like, pass me the cord. But if you ever slice into almost any cord ever, there are multiple elements in there that make that cord work. There's never just a cord. That's usually the wrap of two or three other cords that are allowing the transfer to happen. And when I saw that, I was like, this is awesome, because there are two cords or cables that connect the power source of God and His word to our device, and that's prayer and worship. Those are the two things that you need so there can be an exchange, so that the power that God has can be refueled and come into our life. And so today and next week, I'm going to talk about prayer. And then in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about worship, because these things are some of my favorite things to talk about in the world. And if you ever get a passion for prayer and you get a passion for worship, watch out, because your life will dramatically change. So today we're going to talk about prayer. And let me just tell you, prayer is essential to your life. Many people don't know this, if this is your first time, but prayer is the secret sauce to the success of this church. This church was birthed out of prayer. This beautiful woman right here on the front row, Pastor Debbie McIntosh, in 1998, she began praying, knowing that God had a burden for the north side of Tulsa. She didn't even tell her husband. He was just sitting there, just doing whatever he was doing. And she was praying. And her friend began to pray into existence what we sit in right now. Can we thank God for the prayers? Come on, let's, hallelujah, thank you. Prayer is ingrained into everything we do. In January, we would do 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we done upped it up. We done went into high voltage. Now God's telling us, you know what? One time a year is not enough. We got to do this thing a couple times a year corporately. We just came out of 2 weeks ago, another 7 days of prayer and fasting. Why y'all pray so much? Don't get it twisted. That ain't it. Every Monday night we're here and we're praying. Your pastor is praying every day, not just for you, not just for our city, but for everything that comes into my mind. Why? Because that is the connection. That is the cord between me and God. It is the lifeblood of what this church does, and I desire more than anything for it to be essential in your life. Prayer has to be a basic part of how we live. But let's be honest, prayer is difficult for a lot of people to get their mind around. It was for me. Because there are so many different preconceived notions of what good prayer is and what right prayer is and how you're supposed to pray, how long you're supposed to pray. You ever been in a prayer circle with people and they we all standing here and we about to pray, and it's like three or four of y'all, and it's like, okay, we're going to pray. And automatically we not agreeing, because everybody is thinking what they about to pray. Like, you start praying, but I'm like, okay, dang it, she took what I was going to say. Dang, I can't pray that no more. And then when it gets to you, it's like, God, you're just so holy. Everybody done prayed. What? See, that's, I used to be, I just wanted to go first so I could get all my stuff out and be like, ha ha, y'all ain't got nothing to pray now. Because there's this whole thing, and y'all know what I'm talking about. There's this whole thing with competition in prayer. Have y'all been in a competitive prayer match? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like how they started the Holy One of Israel. Like if I pulled out a map, you couldn't even port to where Israel was. But you over here, the Holy One of Israel. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the cornerstone. Thou art. And you just like, God, what up though? Like you don't even know how to do it, how other people do it. I'm just talking about things that we go through when it talks about prayer. Most believers know they should pray, but it's like a blockage, because so many times have how it's been presented. And the big one is the time factor. Like, what is the stopwatch to a good prayer? Like, when does God say, that was good, that was good, 4 minutes and 62 seconds? Or is it an hour? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get in there like, ooh, I'm about to pray today. Ooh, and you feel like you done prayed for everything. and it's been 2 minutes. And somehow the enemy tries to make you feel that that was insignificant. And so what happens is many people don't go back to what makes them feel bad. So when we know we're supposed to pray, we don't, because there's this preconceived notion that somebody made in our head of what prayer is. And because we're not meeting their expectation and we don't even know who they are, then we just stop doing it. And now we're unplugged from the power source. So today and next week, I want to teach you why we pray. Because I'm finding out in my life, and I'm 29 years old, but what I'm finding out more is that doing something is great, but when I have a why behind it, that makes me continue to do it. And a lot of people serve God because they know they're supposed to, but they don't know the why, and so it doesn't last. There's no longevity to it. So today, I'm literally going to give you the practical reasons of why we pray. And I'm praying that through this, something in you will be like, I need that in my life. And then it will begin to activate something for you to begin to pray in your own life. So the title of today's message is Why We Pray. Very simply, so that you can have this in your mind. And I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And it says, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hold up, Pastor Mike. Hold up. Wait a minute. Now, we just talked about the time thing. And then I go to the word and it says, pray continually. I mean, we're supposed to literally stop life and walk around praying all day? No. We're supposed to keep a constant prayer dialogue going with God throughout our entire day. Oh, so I don't have to just sit in a room by myself and light some candles and play some meditational music and sit there and talk to God. He said, no. I want you to drive. I want you to go to that job. I want you to affect. I want you to produce music. I want you to do all that, but I don't want you to do it without me. I want you to pray continually. And then it says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. One of the biggest questions I always get is, Pastor Mike, I just want to know the will of God for my life. I want him to show me his will. Pray continually. That's the will of God for your life. That is a major piece of the will of God, because when you exchange with God, you can get instructions for what you're supposed to do. So he wants you to pray continually. Let me give you a quote that helped me, because for years I knew this scripture, pray continually, or another translation says pray without ceasing. And boy, that wore me out, because I was just like, oh God, pray without ceasing. Lord, I don't know if I could ever do that. And so it discouraged me. But this quote changed my mind. And it's by a famous evangelist from overseas, and his name is Smith Wigglesworth. And he said, I don't ever pray longer than 20 minutes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. Let that sit in.
That's right. Come
on. I don't ever pray longer than 20 minutes, but I don't ever go 20 minutes without praying. That's prayer without ceasing. That's when I'm about to go into this job interview. I don't just go into the job interview. I pray first. Father God, as I walk into here, I thank you that I'm clothed with favor, that everything you want to do in my life, you're ordaining my steps. In Jesus' name, amen. And I prayed, invited God into that situation, and I went through it. And as I'm sitting in there, and they're asking me hard questions, and they're coming up and asking me things about my last job and all the other stuff, Father God, right now I'm asking you that you give me wisdom. And Father, I don't like her attitude, so I just thank you that you keep me in your perfect peace. That's more spiritual than anything else you could be doing for people's approval. God say, I want to be a part of your everyday life. You got kids, and I know for parents, my daughter just started going to preschool, and we only got one. I can only imagine when y'all got 3 and 4 kids, and you're trying to brush their hair, wipe the crust out of one's, make breakfast for the other one, and you just get them out of there. But before you let them go, in the name of Jesus, these kids are the head and not the tail, and I thank you that you're not going to get in trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to invite God in so that we can pray without ceasing. Somebody shout at me, pray first. I want you this week in every area of your life to pray first. That's what prayer without ceasing looks like in your life. You get a text message that you know you probably shouldn't answer. God, can I come to your house for a second? God, before I give in to this demonic temptation that is in front of me, God, your word says that you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. And God, I'm asking you for the strength right now because I want to. It insults God when we don't tell him the truth. Because I want to text them and I want to end up in their bed tonight. And I want to not have a baby. But God, at this moment, I know that's not your will for my life. So I need you to empower me to do the right thing. That's prayer. That's having a prayer life that is consistently evolving with your life. And that's what God wants for every single one of us. See, prayer is not judged in time. It's a lifestyle. And that's what each one of us need to do. So I'm going to give you three reasons why we pray today. And I want you to write these down and never forget them. Point number one, we pray to invite God in. We pray to invite God in. God only values a relationship based on our choice. If we don't want him to be a part of our lives, he will not come in. And this is where many Christians get jacked up, because they think that when they invite him in at salvation, that now nothing, there's no more communication that's needed. It's like, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and now I'm just going to live this peachy king life. And God says, listen, there's two different acknowledgments. I want you to acknowledge me eternally, that I am God, I will save you, and I will keep you. But then he wants you to acknowledge him daily, which means I want you in my situation. I heard a quote that said, a day without prayer is a boast against God. A day without prayer is basically saying, God, I don't really need you in this situation. The things we don't pray about, what we say to God is, we're not inviting you into that situation in my life. And I don't know about you, but I need God in every single situation in my life, in my marriage, in my finances. I don't even have the wisdom to be able to lead a church. God, I need you. But see, God is a gentleman. The word says, look at this scripture in Revelations 3:20. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't stand at the door and kick. See, this is what we want God to do. You are sinning. Boom, it is the Savior of the world. I have come in to change your life. That's what we want God to do. But he says, I know I can hear him in there. And we in here like, turn the music up, turn the music up. I don't want to listen to that right now. He's like. And it says he stands at the door and he knocks. And look what the rest of it says. He said, if you hear my voice and you open the door. See, we have to invite him in. I love that the Bible gives analogies so that we can see it. Prayer invites God in. When he does this, he, and it says you got to hear his voice. So he'll say, hey, Megan, it's me, JC. I text you. I called. I sent people to tell you I was coming, but you keep ignoring all of my messages. So I decided to show up. Maggie Megs, it's your boy. Been out here for years. Been standing in the same place knocking since last Thursday. Could you please let me in? And when we pray, we invite him into every area of our lives. It says he opens the door and I will come in and I will share a meal together. We will share a meal together as friends. We have to acknowledge God in every day of our life. This is the thing I want you to understand. Prayer is inviting God in, and not praying is offensive to God, and it keeps him out. And I keep saying that to you because I want you to understand that God wants to be in every area of your life. When I'm not praying about my finances, what I am literally saying to God is, God, I don't need you in my finances. When I don't pray about my marriage and just live the life, I'm saying, God, I don't need you in my marriage. God, I don't need you to be in my kids' life. God, I don't need you. And what we need to, all of us know we do need him, so we need to do the right thing. We need to pray. God, you know what? Today, I need you to help me love this man. Love this woman. Today, Father God, I need you to help me walk in your peace. God, I am needing to know that where I'm at is not where I'm going. So I need your contentment in this day right now. God, I'm going to this job and I hate these. I mean, Lord, help me. Come on. And what you're saying is, God, come on in. Come on in. I'm struggling with my sexual identity. I was molested as a child, and now I have perverted thoughts about this situation. And God, I need you to come in, because without you, I don't know who I am. See, many people have the wrong view of God, and so they would never pray to him about the stuff that's ugly, hard, and jacked up. We feel like we have to clean up before we come to him. And he says, I don't need you to clean up. I just need you to invite me in. See, prayer says, God, come in this, and he comes with the cleaning crew. He brings the Holy Spirit. And when you invite him in, he was like, hey, don't let us in. And he comes in with the HVACs, and he comes in with the super cleaners, and he begins to wash the areas of our life that we can't wash on our own because the filth is still on our hands. Have you ever tried to clean something while you were still dirty? It doesn't work. Every time you swipe, it's another mess. And that's what it looks like when we clean up our lives. But what God is saying is, just pray about it. Invite me in. I'm knocking. Please let me in prayer. And I'll come in and I'll change your situation. See, prayer is the language of the dependent. Prayer is the language of the dependent. You're saying, God, not just I can't do it without you, I won't do it without you. That's what prayer says. I won't do this without you. And all through the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the analogy that talks about our relationship with God is sheep and shepherd. That we are his sheep and he is the shepherd. Can I tell you a few things about sheep? Sheep can't navigate for themselves. You've never heard of a homing sheep. Sheep have to follow a shepherd. Let me tell you something else about sheep. Sheep can't bear burdens. You've never heard of a packing sheep. Oh, yeah, Jerome, bring that sheep over here so we can move this. They can't bear burdens. You know something else about a sheep? Sheep can't protect themselves. You've never heard of a tack sheep. So when God looks at us, he said, you're my sheep. You're my children. You can't navigate for yourself. You literally can't carry anything. And you sure can't protect yourself. You need a shepherd. And prayer says, I choose you, God, as my shepherd. I choose to follow you. I'm inviting you into my situation. It's crazy right now, but if I followed you, you're going to help me navigate out of this thing. If I follow you, you said you would take my burdens. You would trade the yoke that I wear on my back. And you said, you know what? That you would be my hiding place, my safe refuge. We need to be sheep that talk to the shepherd. Amen. And that's what prayer does. It invites God in. Look at John 10:11. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Prayer says to God, I need you. And then God says, great, because I just wanted you to want me to come in. And that is why we pray, because that's the first reason we pray, is because it invites God into our life. And when you invite him in, he will come in and change things 100% of the time. He's just waiting on your invitation. Amen. this week. Don't just go throughout your week. Pray first. You're dealing with some stuff on your job. Invite him into that situation. Don't boast against God. Don't say, I can do this without you. Listen, I pray for stuff that I know I can do by myself because I've decided I'm not going to do it without him. Invite God in. The second reason that we pray is to communicate with God personally. Communicate with God personally. And I want to dispel this myth in your mind. Prayer is not a religious act that we do. It is a personal exchange with our Father. And I want you to picture yourself having an amazing Father. I know some of us didn't in the natural, but everything you think a Father is, I want you to picture that being God. I want you to picture him wanting the best for you, always providing for you, anything you ask, he'll do. I want you to picture he disciplines you, but he does it with just the right amount of love and care. It's your Father. I want you to picture God as a great Father. And we now have to communicate personally with our Father. I have a daughter who's 3 years old. And y'all, I cannot tell you. Anybody who's around me knows that that little girl has a control on me. It's because when she crawls up in my lap as my child and she just connects with me personally, I've been gone for the past 2 or 3 days. And last night we got back home and that girl climbed up in my lap and she looked at me in my eyes and I didn't prompt her. I didn't say nothing. She said, Daddy, I love you. And at that moment, I just said, what do you want? You can have whatever your little heart desires. Want me to kill your brother? Okay. No, I mean, literally, what do you want? It was because she connected with her Father personally. What God is looking for, let me say it like this. He wants Michael time. Put your name in there. Why we pray is because he wants Tammy time and he wants Gary time and he wants Brenda time and he wants John time and he wants Mudo time and he wants Melody time. He wants to connect with you personally. And see, so many of us like, God's working. He's just working all out here. But is he working in you? We make it so external. And God's saying, every day I want time with just you. But if we have the wrong perspective of God, we won't come to God every day. When we have a wrong perspective of our Father, I talk to people who have bad relationships with their Father, and there's stuff they wouldn't even ever bring to their Father. Like their hurts, their pains, their frustrations, their shortcomings. They think that the Father, the reason they are the way that they are right now is because of their relationship with their Father. So they never bring it to him. And if we have a distorted view of God, that he's always mad at us, that he's just looking to punish us, that he wants our mistakes to define us. If we think that, because I used to think that, I had a warped view of God and his love. And many people do. And when you do, you will not pray. You will not go to God. You will not talk to him about stuff. I used to think prayer was for me to prove myself to God that I was really committed. I'll tell you a story. One time, my mom used to have a prayer school called Gethsemane Institute off of Yale and 31st. And we were in a group one time called One Generation of Praise. And we were just trying to go after God. And we were seeking God. But I was doing all kind of foolish stuff in the midst of seeking God and all this other stuff. So I remember this one night I made up my mind. I'm approved to God because I know he wants me to suffer through this boring time of prayer. And I know that he wants to see if I can make it. And we had an all night prayer, y'all. I'm talking all night. I'm talking it started at 10 o'clock and wasn't in until 6 o'clock the next morning. So I made up my mind. I said, I'm gonna make it through this whole all night prayer to prove to God I am committed to him. Y'all, I slept more in that all night prayer than I think I would have if I would have gone home and gone to sleep. But I thought the prayer had to be a certain way and a certain lift to prove to God that I was committed. And he said, no, prayer is not proving to me that you deserve me. I just want to connect with you personally. I created you. I know you. I know you just finding out what you like and all these different things you're good at. He said, but I put it on the inside. I know how to work it better than you do. I know how your wife works. I made her. I know how your husband works. I made him. You trying to fix him. I'm trying to fix you. And if you let me fix you, I'll work on him and you won't even notice. You'll come up and be like, oh my God, you are so fine and faithful. You know what I'm saying? But it's because we are trying to be God. And he said, could you just connect with me personally? Could you just talk to me for a little bit? And when we start communicating with God personally, something amazing happens in our life. See, how can you know somebody you never speak to? And many believers walk around, God is so good. He's speaking to me. He's talking to me. You're talking to yourself. Many times it is because we don't make the time for God to personally connect with us. There's two ways that we know God. We know him through his word. He tells us that his word, that's what we talked about the last 2 weeks. But this is what God spoke to me one day, and it really helped me, and I want to give it to you. He said, Michael, my word is the principal tool. I can speak to you through my word, and I have principles in there that will help guard your life. He said, but prayer, talking to me, exchanging with me, is the circumstantial tool. He said, you're going through circumstances that are specific, and you need to hear my voice about that circumstance. And many times we'd be like, well, I read the word today. And then you're going into a situation and God says, please, please, please ask me about that. Please talk to me about that. Please just invite me into that situation because I got the answer for that specific circumstance. And prayer invites God into the circumstances. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. It is not, God, this is what I need, and this is what I have, and this is what I got, and did you get it? Amen. He said, give me some time to talk back. He said, make space. What if all of your phone calls to the people who said they love you was them telling you something and hanging up? Just think about it. Hey, meet me at this at 6 o'clock, click. Hey, make sure we're going to be able to do this tonight, right, click. That's what our prayer life says. God, change this situation for me. Bye. God, kill these people, please. Thank you. Bye. But God doesn't want to have a monologue. He wants to have a dialogue where you can talk and let him know your heart and be humble, open, and transparent before him. And you can cuss. You can talk. See, this is the thing that people want. You want everybody to be okay with your response. There have been times where I'd be like, God, this is from. Ah! And do you know God didn't come after me? He said, thank you for sharing your heart. Because in his presence, he changed me, and I didn't say it to the person. In his presence, he gave me a new perspective. I'm just trying to take away the myths that prayer has to be something. How you would talk to your best friend, that's how you talk to God. Some of y'all, girl. So just change it. God. Today was one of them days where I just felt like dot, 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 dot. And God says, man, thank you for inviting me into that. And he'll whisper an answer or send somebody to help you. That's prayer. It's connecting with God relationally. You know, the Bible is like a manual, but prayer is like tech support. Have you ever had something that you needed help with? Your DVR player, your cell phone, or something like that? And then you look at the manual, and that manual is in Chinese, Russian, and you're looking, it's like, this does not make sense. And they say, if you need tech support, call 1-800-555-5555. And you call, and then after the automated system, you get on the line with somebody, and you're like, finally, hey, this is my specific circumstantial problem. Can you help me with that? And they're able to navigate you through that circumstance, not everything the phone can do, because you had tech support. That's what prayer is for your life. It's tech support. And we all have to have a personal, somebody say personal. A personal relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. See, because many people think they have to be perfect to come to God, but it said, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. We do not deserve to be able to have direct access to the CEO of life. But God has made a way for all of us to have direct access. He said, there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us. And this is the best part, when we need it most. Do you know that when I deserve God the least, that's when I need him the most? And he's saying, I knew it. So if you invite me into this situation, I'm not going to beat you up because of it. I'm not going to smash you out. Yeah, you did it. Yeah, you had it. But when you invite me in, there may be consequences for your actions, but I'm going to be right here helping you heal. Amen. I'm going to be right here telling you, don't do that again. I'm going to be right here giving you support and aid because I want to help you when you need it the most, not when you deserve it the most. That's what prayer is. And we pray so that we can communicate with God personally. Last reason that we pray is to exercise our spiritual authority. And a lot of people don't like this one, but I want you to hear me say this very clearly. God will not do for us what he's given us the power to do for ourselves. This is the one that a lot of people don't like. So I know that I'm going to go ahead and preface it by saying a lot of people don't like this one. Okay, but God will not do for us what he gave us the authority. Somebody shout at me, authority. Authority. Like you got some authority. Say authority. Authority. He will not do what he's already given us the authority to do. We have been given incredible authority. In Genesis 1, Adam and Eve were given dominion and authority over everything, but they lost it because of sin. And so then Jesus got our authority back. And that's what, when we put our faith in Jesus, then we get authority. I want you to go right now to Luke 10:17, because the disciples found this out. This is Jesus talking right now. And he said, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, boy, you should have seen us, bro. Even the demons obey when we use your name. We just cast out all kind of demons. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Look, y'all listen to me, because y'all rejoicing about the wrong thing. Look, I have given you, what's that next word? Authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your name is registered in heaven. Do you know how much authority that you have over the enemy? It's a three-letter word. A-L-L. All. God has given you, as his son and his daughter, all authority over the enemy. And you don't even believe it. And that's why we can go to God and whine in the spirit. Why these people hate me? God, this is what he's doing. God, why is my money like this? He said, I can't do nothing because I already gave you the authority to do it. I told you that if the enemy starts attacking you, all you got to do is put your dukes up in prayer and fight, and you'll win every time. But that's why the enemy plays on us, and we're looking for somebody to come in as a savior and save us. And God said, I'll put it in your mouth. This is why the enemy tries to rob you of prayer. You're supposed to be doing spiritual fighting, spiritual warfare. And people use that like spiritual warfare, like it's some sci-fi film. This is telling the enemy what he can and cannot do in your life. That's what prayer is. This is why we pray. And we use words like bind and loose. And a lot of people don't explain what those words mean. But all bind mean is you disallow. And loose means allow. And so all you're doing in prayer is you're binding or disallowing things to happen in your life, or you're loosing, you're allowing things to happen in your life. Look what the word of God says in Matthew 18. It gives you the authority. Matthew 18, 18. It says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I'm telling you, half the stuff that has happened to you is because you allowed it. Y'all don't want to hear me. Half the stuff that has happened to you is because you were not on your post. You were just taking hits. Just, God, what you doing? He said, my hands are tied because this is a fight. And if the coach gets in during the fight, you're going to get disqualified. But if you just put your dukes up, if you would just say, you know what? I bind the spirit of lust off of my life. I disallow it. You cannot be in this household. I loose the spirit of peace in this household. Okay. I bind rebellion over my children in the name of Jesus. You cannot have my kids in the name of Jesus. You thought it. You thought you had me. You thought you had me. See, this is what prayer is. Y'all better hear me. Prayer is a weapon. I'm trying to make this so practical for you. That God's not trying to make you sit here, oh God of heaven. He's saying, I have given you authority to disallow stuff in your life. You cannot have my finances. I have been given authority by the Most High God. That's why he prefaced it by saying, I saw Satan fall. Like he was saying, it's been done before by my daddy. And now daddy puts his name on you. And this is the beautiful thing. You know, if you got many kids, I remember growing up, and if my dad said, clean up your room, and I went up and I said, clean up your room, nobody moved. Because my name didn't carry any authority. But when I go back up and I say, dad said, clean up the room, everybody just start moving. Why? Because in his name was the authority. That's why we say in the name of Jesus. See, you're missing it. In the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every, in the name who kicked Satan out of heaven, I saw him fall like lightning. I bind the spirit of confusion over my marriage. I bind the spirit. I tie you up. That's what prayer is. Prayer is your weapon. And that's why he says, pray without ceasing. He said, because the fight is coming, but it's fixed. But the only reason you lose is if you forfeit. There are more forfeiting Christians that we won't even show up for the fight because we're scared we're going to lose. Do you know that it is a fixed fight? And so what we do through prayer is we bind and we loose in the name of Jesus. Why do we pray? Because we need to invite God into every situation. Why do we pray? Because he wants a personal ability to communicate with us. And why do we pray? Because we get to exercise our authority and whoop the devil's, I wish I could cuss. You hear what I'm saying? Prayer ain't no punk thing. Prayer is the thing that will get you through every situation in your life. If you're hurting right now, if you're broken right now, if you're confused right now, if you're successful right now, I'm telling you, you should pray about everything. And when you do, it says our Father in heaven hears you. Why do we pray? Because prayer is essential in every area of our life.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.